This is the Film Effect with Tiff.
What if that ship didn't even exist? Do you ever think about that? I didn't know. So now if I went and made a major security situation out of it, everybody steps in, administration steps in, and there's no exclusive rights for anybody. Nobody wins. So I made a decision, and it was wrong. It was a bad call, Ripley. It was a bad call.
Bad call.
Right.
These people are dead, Burke! Don't you have any idea what you've done here? Well, I'm going to make sure that they nail you right to the wall for this. You're not going to sleaze your way out of this one. Right to the wall.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Film Effect with Tiff. I am back. I am back, finally. We are quarantined. I'm trapped in my house. I'm in my sweatpants. I'm drinking out of my Film Effect mug that I made for myself because I have merch only for me and not for anyone else. And I was able to have a guest on this episode to talk with me about a movie that they love, which you might have a hint from the opening because I usually, you know, I always have that little quote. And she is remote with me right now, which is the first time I've ever done this. And her name is Kristen. Kristen, say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry. And we can't see each other. We are just like talking through space right now, through the future.
Yeah,
actually,
hundreds of miles
like
away
it.
From each other. Yeah, we are kind of in the future. We're in, sadly, some kind of dystopian quarantine, scary, The Stand, Stephen King future.
I know. And we're and your pick was Aliens, which is also one of my like favorite movies. In fact, I've watched it so many times that when I put it on today, I literally just watched this movie before we did this. And it's my kids were like, again, are you putting this on again? Oh, wait, let me guess. Is it Aliens again? And I'm like, leave me alone.
It's a classic.
It is like to me one of the most empowering all-time women kick-ass movies that you can find out there. And I think it, to this day, it still stands the test of time, which is so awesome. So awesome. Yeah. So tell me, tell us a little bit about yourself, Kristen, if you like.
Sure. And thank you so much for having me on, Tiffany. It's Tiffany and I have gone, oh my gosh, what, 20-something 30 something years when we were waitresses together long ago.
Oh my
and
God,
now
that's
I
so
work.
Crazy.
It's so crazy at California Pizza Kitchen. Nice little plug. We won't get any money for that though.
CPK.
CPK
shout out to CPK.
All the time. And I am a huge movie buff, all different types, but I work in Atlanta right now at Emory. We're right next door to the CDC. We're planning on solving and curing coronavirus for y'all. So you're welcome.
Oh my God. Thank you.
And I know I'm here for you, Tiffany. And
please do something.
We're trying. And I I'm a fundraiser who looks for money for research. And we actually, I kid, but we actually are doing a lot to fund COVID-19 research and find a lot of funding for it. And we've got some great Atlanta foundations who've actually put in about, I think, $10 million just in the past couple of days to do that. So I kid, but Emory really is working hard on that. A plug for Emory too. So
that's so anyway, awesome. I did not know that you were doing that. That's so cool.
Yeah, I know people, a lot of people don't know what I do. I don't even know what I do.
So that's okay. Yeah.
fair enough. Sometimes I don't either. I do have people ask me a lot, like people I've told, my mother-in-law, every time she visits, always asks me and then also asks my husband, like, so what does Kristen do again? And to her, because I'm a fundraiser, she just thinks I go around asking strangers for money and, you know, it's fine. It's good. But on the side of all that, I'm also a huge movie buff of all different genres. And Aliens is special to me because it's kind of the first sci-fi movie that I watched. I didn't want to watch it. I actually got talked into it by in high school by a best friend of mine who loved scary movies. And I hate scary movies. And that, like you were saying, Tiffany, it's still one of the most empowering, I think, women's movies with a real female antagonist. But I also think it's like the first one.
I think you're right. Really, I mean, I can't think of any, not really. I mean, Stella, actually, it's funny. I always talk about Stella on this podcast.
That's
Stella,
fine.
You're very important.
She's famous. She is.
She doesn't know, but she, I was saying this to them about this movie because I'm always preaching, you know, movies to them. And she said, no, mom, what about Star Wars and Princess Leia? And I was like, oh my God, you're kind of right. Like, even though Princess Leia kind of gets saved, like she's also a badass and she like ends up kicking ass and she's very strong character for a female character. So I had to give it to her. I was like, good point, Stella.
And she's definitely right. I think the difference is that Princess Leia, and I love her too, and I also think, but she kicks butt in her own way, but there's, she still has that support, right? And she's still used as the male gaze. I mean, sorry to, you know, to get into that. Women's studies minor in college.
Slave Leia?
Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, she didn't pick that outfit. She didn't pick that outfit.
She hated that outfit. But Ripley, you know, Sigourney Weaver's character is not sexualized. She does not, even when she's wearing, and I just watched it to rewatch it today too. It's one of my favorite movies as well, especially because it, Alien is my husband's favorite movie.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. And Aliens is mine. So we argue about it because he's trying to tell me that Alien is better. And I'm like, okay, I get it, but it doesn't have get away from her, you bitch. And I'm sorry. But that's one of my favorite lines of all time.
Oh, such a great line. And we have to wait till like the last 5 seconds to hear it, which I was like, when is she going to say the line?
When is it? It's coming. Yeah. So,
but this is a good point.
Yeah.
No, yeah. And so what I'll do, because look at us, we're already deep in. But what I'm going to do is just for our listeners, I'm going to just recap and give everyone the stats on this movie. So the movie we're talking about, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's called Aliens. It's from 1986. It is directed by Ridley Scott, and it stars, of course, Sigourney Weaver. No, it's directed by James Cameron. Why did I think that?
Why did you do that?
I just totally messed up. Look what the quarantine has done to my head. Oh my God. Okay.
Well,
sorry.
I thought I turned off my email notifications and they keep popping up. That's why you hear that sound. So I apologize for that.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right.
I'm trying to figure that out right now.
No, don't worry about it. I don't think I'm actually hearing anything, but listeners, deal with it, okay?
Right.
We're having technical issues. they don't care. They're good. Okay, so just like backtrack, it is James Cameron, okay?
Okay.
It's written by James Cameron, David Giler, I think that's how you say his name. It stars Sigourney Weaver, Michael Bain, Carrie Henn, that's Newt. There's a lot of people in this. We've got, how come they don't eat Paul Reiser? Bill Paxton, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't love Bill Paxton?
And this is one of my favorite roles of his, too. He has all the best lines.
He really does. And you know what? It's funny because I think he gets seen as like kind of a, you know, doofus character where he's just like saying all these ridiculous things. But like, he's such a great actor and he's had such great serious roles in his career. Like, he just kind of, I think he started off with some of these kind of roles. You know, he had like, I always think of, Weird Science and how he's like the big brother Chet. Do you remember that? It's such a like
I do.
Oh my god
I can actually quote that movie too, unfortunately.
That's a really good one too. I should do like a whole 80s episode. That would be super fun. But so those are like the basic you know, stats on the movie. I'll read for everyone. I always like to read what IMDb puts down as the description. And so they describe this movie as Ellen Ripley is rescued by a deep salvage team after being in hypersleep for 57 years. The moon that the Nostromo visited has been colonized, but contact is lost. This time, colonial marines have impressive firepower, but will that be enough? Wow. That is it's not. No, it's definitely not going to be enough. This is not saying
enough.
A lot for the Marines in this movie. You know, it's like 57 years into the future and they still can't do anything. it's kind of sad for them, actually. They look pretty serious.
But it was like 12 of them. When I rewatched the movie today, I haven't watched it in a while. And I had that moment of like, wait a second. That's not even like a platoon. Right? I mean, like 60 families have disappeared and this person has told them that there are these terrible xenomorphs who have acid for blood and all these eggs, and 60 families have disappeared and they send 12 people.
right?
Like, I'm pretty sure that they'd send, I don't know, like 48, maybe as many as the people that have disappeared. I didn't make that connection till when I was watching it today. And they had that kind of the one scene with the, you know, Gorman introducing Ripley and talking to them. And you see, like, that's actually a very small amount of people. And the ship is huge that they come in.
Yeah,
on.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
When my husband and I were talking, I was like, okay, why is it so big? Why do they have, why is there no other crew except for these like 12 people? It's like, it was just really interesting.
No, it is. And I think it's pretty orchestrated. Like, I was really trying to watch this movie. Like, all right, let me try to watch it. Like, I haven't seen it 100 million times. And, I think the whole beginning is such a setup to show you that people don't believe what Ripley is telling them. They don't really care what she has to say. They kind of are like, yeah, it might be a little dangerous. Whatever. We'll send a few people with the ship and like, hopefully that'll take care of the problem. Maybe I was guessing too that, you know, she's found in the beginning floating in space for, you know, now what has been 57 years by the time she comes back. And her whole life is like over. So depressing, right? Like, your parents are dead. Everyone's dead. Yeah. Sorry, we found you and you were almost dead. But by the way, but the cat is here. Get the cat. The cat will take
care
of
you. Have Jonesy. So you, at least you have the cat. At least you have the cat. Thank God. That would keep me grounded. I'd be okay.
Right? You have a pet. And
makes a difference.
Yeah. And you have the very first version of FaceTime that's ever existed, because that was what I always think of when I think of this movie. I'm like, oh my God, that was it. Like, in 1986, they were like, we're going to have FaceTime. This is what it's going to look like. And it was like a TV screen that she hits the button and she's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, hi, good morning. Like, I'm like, wow.
Zuckerberg owes aliens some money.
Right? I know. Totally. And I feel like some nerd watched this movie and was like, we're going to make that happen. That could be a thing. I think that really could have been what happened. I'm serious. Totally. Like, I'm like, that was FaceTime. That was it. No, but honestly, like, her life sucks, right? So she already has to return from this horrible. And, you know, it's cool that your husband saw the first one. And I saw it, but like, I don't remember it that well. It wasn't the one out of the franchise of the Alien, you know, movies. This was the big blockbuster. You know, this was the movie that everybody remembers. And to the point where my wife, Nicole, like, really thought this was the first one. I'm like, no, this is the second one. And she was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, this wasn't the first one.
Yeah, I think I might be mistaken, so don't quote me on this, but I actually think it's the first sequel that did better than the first.
I think you might be right.
I think I remember. I think I remember reading something about that. And that's actually what my husband and I argue about, because he's like, the first one is like the haunted house in space. And I'm like, whatever.
Wait a minute. What am I?
Yeah. I know. That's what he says. And I actually told him, like, you probably should go on this podcast rather than me, because he has all these.
We should have you both on. It's like,
and we can argue about it. We should have done an Alien versus Aliens. There you go.
Oh my God. I never, well, maybe, I don't know.
You can do it in the future.
We could do that with the Terminator, because I actually think the Terminator sequel was pretty huge compared to the original, even though the original Terminator was pretty, like, you know, huge too. But I do remember when they finally came out with that sequel, like, years later, it was
not only that. I mean, freaking Sarah Connor is a badass in the second one, right? I mean, that's the difference too. I'll tell you right now, if you want to do badass women in sci-fi,
right?
I want to be the guest on all of them. I want to be the continuous guest, because I think that and I think that's a really good connection, actually, Tiffany, because I think that there is, at least for me and other women, who Aliens is kind of that first movie, because it connects with us differently. Like, she's, you know, Sigourney Weaver is always an amazing actress, and Tom Skerritt, all the original ones are great, but she's not as powerful as she is in the second one, right? It's too much of an ensemble cast, and I hate to say this, but she's the damsel at the end who gets away in the horror movie.
That's true.
But in this one, it's like out of luck a little bit. Like, she's smart, but in this one, she actively chases the horror, right?
Yeah,
she doesn't want to, but she knows that the only way that she can get rid of those nightmares and all that is to go. So it's a stronger, It's just a stronger place to be. And then it's the same thing. That's exactly the same thing with Sarah Connor. I'm very excited about this, actually.
My God, we need to do like, I know, I should Terminator have you back too, and we'll right? talk about it.
Yeah, because yeah, she's reactive.
Talk about it. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, talk about it. Yeah,
it can be done, but she's reactive in the first one, and she you know she's resilient. It's the same thing almost, right? She's resilient. She and it's Michael Biehn, huh? Maybe he likes you know strong women. We're going off on a tangent. It's like our
You're
whole
right,
friendship.
It is the same guy. Oh my God!
It is. Okay, so he was like my first.
My
like,
mind
sci-fi
is blown.
Movie crush. Boom. Thank you. You're welcome.
Oh, but well, I could see that.
Yeah, but then he plays that character really well, right? He does play that strong, like sci-fi military guy who's not the jerk, right?
He's got the sensitive quality that like makes him multidimensional, so he's not just like a typical guy. So he does. You're right. He pulls that off really well in both of those movies. How crazy is that? Wow.
I know. That's I didn't amazing. Realize that. Well, and so if we're going in that lane, what's really so Cameron has. He has people he likes, right? He reminds me of Josh Whedon a little bit, where he keeps hiring the same people. Right. So this is a really weird tangent, but Vasquez in Aliens is the adopted foster mother in Terminator 2.
What? All right.
Yeah, and I don't even know. I don't even.
You.
I don't even know if you want. I don't know if you want me to go here because this can go into kind of a blackface situation.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, here. No, that's
okay. But they darkened her skin.
Oh my God.
They did, and because and this just came to me today because when we were watching it, and I had read something about this actress, and her name is like her last name is like Goldstein, Jeanette.
I want to look it up. Hold on.
Goldstein,
a second.
I think. And he likes her. I think he's been a character
you
actress.
You are bing,
in
bing, bing. You win the prize, Jeanette Goldstein. Oh my God.
He's been, she's been one of his character actors in multiple different movies that he's done. And I didn't connect it. John was actually was like, oh, I think she was in this one too. And I was like, what? She can't be Vasquez. But I hadn't rewatched it when I made the connect, when he made that connection. And then when she came on today, I'm like, she's not Hispanic. And they they dyed her hair okay and darkened her skin and it's interesting especially looking at it now when that's a big issue right and then thinking back to the time like you couldn't have gotten a Hispanic actress now at that time 86 there weren't a lot that were making it because our I'm gonna stop myself because I might go off into a white male privilege rant that could get
do
really
it.
Crazy.
But this it was is just my show. Do whatever. I've said everything on this show. You don't even know. You don't. I mean, people, you guys that listen to me, you know what I do. I just say anything. I mean, I think I've listened back on me and Nicole in our Fresh Take episode where we just literally ranted right after we watched 1917 and we just ripped the shit out of that movie. And every person I run into is like, I really liked it. It won the Golden Globe. And I'm like, don't listen to that episode. I'm like, just don't listen. I mean, we were just like, this is stupid. Like the whole thing. We were like, men just love war. Why are men like this? Like we, it was just really.
You're not wrong. My husband has a war problem. We have a whole civil, like he gets mad at me because I'll be like, you don't want to do anything with us. He's like, you never want to do what I want to do. I'm like, no, I don't want to go to a Civil War battlefield and Trump around. I don't. I think
oh
that's
my God. It's,
why would I want to do that? And he does. He's a big Civil War buff for the right side. He doesn't do with Southern aggression crap. But
oh boy.
But no, yeah, I have no interest in seeing 1917. That's one of those. I'm like kind of. I'm like, I don't need another frickin' movie about war. War sucks. We know that.
Like, it does. It does. And I, you know, and that's, no, and that's a whole other episode, but let me ask you this because we are talking about women and empowered, you know, roles, women playing very, what is the word? You just said all the right things. Strong women,
empowerment,
kind of,
their
of changing
agency.
The game.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also like playing leads and doing things that you don't usually see happen with a protagonist that's a woman. So I think to this day, the reason this movie blows my mind is just like how far they take it with her. I mean, like my jokes about this movie are that not only is she like, you know, recovering from a horrific situation, she's like got nothing to lose. She gets in the situation and she's just even from the get-go, just like kind of like, proverbial, like, bitch slapping all the men and being like, get out of the way, let me handle this. Like, she's like, you guys are idiots, I'm taking over. And they all just let her, which is so funny to me. And and then time and time again throughout the story, she takes the upper hand, you know, without a lot of pushback. Some pushback, but they really let her have it. And that's kind of, it was just unique to watch throughout the whole story. So I love that. But for you personally, let me ask. So, you know, for you, what is this, how does this, like, affect you in terms of what you took from a movie like this, even saying if you watched it when you were young, what it did for 18. You, at least looking at the world. Like, did it have an effect on you?
It did. It really did. Cause I will say that, you know, it's hard. Cause I was 18 when I first saw this, this movie. And, it's something I remember in a bunch of different ways. One, like I said, my best friend in high school, Froze, was a huge scary movie person, and I was not. And she was always trying to get me to see scary movies. And she had seen this one. It was like in the dollar store. And she's like, no, you need to see this with me because, and she was, what she was selling was the fact that it was this really strong woman character. And I still didn't want to see it. And she actually promised to tell me when there was any scary part so I could close my eyes. I still can't watch the part in the, you know, when they go to the victims the first time and the woman has the chest burster come out. I still don't watch that part. I hate that. I hate that. But, and I only went to see it because she talked me into it, and I wasn't expecting to like it, to be honest. I thought it was more, this was my best friend. She wanted to see it again. I'm like, all right, fine. She watches movies that I like. And I loved it. Like we went back the next week to watch it again. I think I watched it tons of times before the days of, you know, instant, your phone and the TV, and, you had to actually rent a, you know, a tape and it didn't come out for like a year.
Remember rental
like
stores? I worked in Blockbuster for many years.
I know. I still miss Blockbuster, but I think what it was up until that point, I wasn't really, like a sci-fi person. I had done a little reading in it. I was a big reader. I'm still a big reader, but that wasn't one of my genres. And that movie it was different because, like, kind of what you were saying, like in the beginning of the movie, and this is again, one of me going down my feminist road, but I think you're probably used to that, Tiffany, even though we haven't talked that often, but
no, I know you
in the beginning. I know you do. Right. Like, I'm not surprised that we're off. We'd be off any script, even if you gave me a script. But like in the beginning, it's very much none of the men listen to her. Right.
Right.
None of they're all dismissing her concerns. Oh, it has acid for blood. You're adorable. No one's ever seen that before. Right. And she was a pilot. She was a like high ranking crew member in the first one. And in the beginning of this, she's basically a dock loader, right? Because they dismiss her so much and she just needs to make a living. And she doesn't want to go back because she knows it's messed up. She's like, these aliens are bad. But she does because she can't move past it knowing it's out there. Like, she knows it wasn't just that one. She saw the eggs. And she goes to face her own fears. And then slowly through the movie, there's the real dismissiveness in the beginning. And then it trickles down. It becomes less like each kind of scene almost. There's, you know, Gorman is an idiot and she lets him, you know, interrupt and do stuff. And then she basically gives him the concussion that puts him out for the rest of the movie so that she can go save them because he can't take it. And to me, that was what it really resonated with me because she didn't care. Right.
Right.
When she wasn't military, like wasn't actually her boss. But she knew what would happen. And so she didn't care. And it was more important to her to save those lives.
Yeah.
And then she's the one who saves the lives. And it was 1986. In 1986, we weren't getting that. Right. We had the first Sarah Connor, who she did fight back, but she was carried for most of that movie by Michael Biehn. Right.
Yeah.
Who, and she was scared and she was resilient, but she wasn't really fighting back till the very end. And the Ripley character is trying to fight back the whole way.
Yeah.
And I just, and then there was just like, you know, like I said in the beginning, it's still 20, 30 years later, my favorite line when she does that, get away from, I said it, I was quoting it during it happening, like so excited. My kids were like, what the hell, Mom? And I'm like, you don't, and for them, like, I'm thankful that they don't have that big of a, they have more role models like that.
They do. And actually they're surprised by weak women in movies. And I'll just bring this up because I've been home and we've been watching movies like here and there. And all I do is go to like my, lately I'm really obsessed with movies from like when I was, you know, a teenager and, or even like when I was 12, whatever. And I just got into like an Indiana Jones kick yesterday. And I was like, I'm like, hey, guys, have you seen Temple of Doom? And they were like, I don't think so. And I was like, oh my God, we are watching Temple of Doom. Cause I love that one specifically. And, you know, Indiana Jones does tap into this whole, like, he's the man, he's going to save the day. Yeah. But, you know, and some of them, the women are a little bit stronger than others. For some reason in Temple of Doom, and I didn't even remember this, but the woman, I think Kate Capshaw plays, you know, Billy, who's just so funny, by the way, that entire movie. I just love the whole thing. And, but it's, she's like a classic old school movie star where she's almost like at every turn, like with the hand on the head, you know, oh my God, you know, and the girls, you know, literally like, oh my God, there's snakes. Like, oh no, you know, and the girls are just like my two, you know, Stella and Charlotte, cause they're the ones who've been kind of hanging out with me watching these movies mostly. Mm-hmm. And, They're like, what is wrong with her? Why is she such an idiot? And they're like, why is she such a wuss? And like, why doesn't she help? And I'm like, I don't know. This is how women were in movies. Like, this is what it, they don't have any frame of reference for this. They think it's like completely stupid when women act like that. It's like kind of a nice thing. I'm like, wow, okay, this is shocking to you guys. Like, this is all I knew until like Sigourney Weaver picked up like a, you know, a flamethrower and was like, let's go, motherfucker. Like, I seriously, I, that's why
got
I
into a huge docking, whatever that thing is called that she,
the forklift, like the futuristic forklift that is such plant and payoff, you know, it's like in the beginning, they're like, a woman can't work that thing. And she's like, oh yeah,
let me show
and
you.
I'm like, here we go. Like, you don't know what she's capable of.
I know. Step back. That is what's so fun actually about going back and watching these movies, I think, is that is doing that, right? You know, being able to go, oh, we know what's happening. She can get in that. She can get in that forklift. She's a badass. I'm talking to it the whole time. I'm like,
me too.
No, Ripley's a badass. Don't even mess with her. Come on. She's going to kick your ass with that. She totally can.
I know.
Yeah.
And so I'm honestly, and I ruin everything because I sit there and I'll just make like comments under my breath where they're like watching it. And I'm like, they're all getting out and they're all getting out of the sleep machines and all these Marines are like pumping iron. And like, and I'm like, they're all going to be dead in like 5 minutes. I'm like, they're all dead. And it's so, I was like, they're all going to die. I'm like, no, they're fine. They're not going to all die. I'm like, nope, they're all going to die.
I forgot not to spoil this for you. I'm sorry. And see what I'm doing, like, Tiffany, is I'm saying the lines.
Oh, okay.
So like right before I'm all like, Vasquez, is anyone ever mistaken you for a man? And she's like, no, you. And I'm like, haha. And my family is just like, oh my God, stop it. And I'm like, these are some of the best quotable lines ever. What's wrong with you?
I'm so glad you love this movie. Like, it's such a joy to, I love when people can share in my, you know, love of this stuff, because I think we all do it. Like, and that's the whole point of why I wanted to do this podcast, is because people, you know, we all have these movies that affect us in a way that we can't not remember the lines. You can't help but scream at the screen when you see it happening again, even though it's been 20 years or 30 years or whatever it is.
Or jump at the spider, whatever that thing's called, coming out, even though I know it's going to happen every single time.
What is it called? I could not remember.
It's called something. There's the chest burster, which is, you know, obviously. And then it is called something. Now I'm going to have to go to my phone. It's like, what is the spider thing called in Alien?
You got to look it up. Well, I'm trying to, it's funny because I wrote little notes as I was watching this, and I'll just read some of the bizarre things. They're really random. Yeah. As I was going through it, I wrote, okay, yeah, she's trying to tell the story to a room full of men, basically, except for like one woman. Then I wrote my one comment, everyone still smokes in the future. Awesome. Because everybody is smoking cigarettes. And it's supposed to be what year? I don't know. But I'm like, we're all in trouble. Everyone's still smoking in a room. It's like no one cares. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, too. And I was like, because especially watching it now, right, where, you know, because of health issues, smoking, you see so few people smoking now, and it's not legal to smoke in any kind of establishment. And then you watch that and you're kind of like, I'm pretty sure the future would have figured that out.
They smoke everywhere. They're smoking like in the room, yeah, in the plane, in the ship. Like, I'm like, okay, all right.
Well, and here's the thing, like what I really like about watching older movies like that is that you've seen multiple times, but you haven't watched it in a while. At least for me, I make the connections I probably should have made before. So like, I never made the connection that she had to smoke or she wouldn't have had the lighter for the med bay. I never made that connection. But now you can make that because no one smokes now. Well, I mean, people still do. Right.
Oh,
but
it's not a thing. True.
And I was like, oh, that makes sense why they had to show her smoking all the time before she gets on the ship. You never see her smoke once when she's on the ship.
No.
It's only before she goes. So
that's
it's
right.
really just a very long gag so that she can have that, the lighter. So she can set it off.
It took a long time.
They were waiting for it. It's like, there's no name. They call it
spider hands.
Yeah. And I'm like,
I hate that thing more than the aliens actually. Cause it's it's like sinister, you know, it's like sneaky and it flies around the room and then it like
sticks something down your throat.
Oh my God. It's everything we hate. All the things like the dentist and like putting fingers in your face and like hand on your face. Nobody wants, especially right now. I mean, God,
no,
I don't want any hands on my face.
I know. I
did you wash your tentacles before you decided to put it on me?
Vasquez, did you wash before you got that thing off of me? Because you were touching my face. Yeah. No, it's.
Oh, man. I think it's kind of fun to watch these like futuristic sci-fi movies now that we're in this situation. I mean, I really didn't do an episode on too much of like, I kind of tried to because I didn't have time to watch too many movies about that. But there's definitely plenty about like, you know, diseases. And I'm kind of glad I'm not watching them. I feel like it's safer to go far into the future. Let's go really far.
And that's like, where I am.
Yeah, like I don't want to be associated with this reality at all. So that's where I go.
No, I don't want to watch anything about pandemics right now. Not one thing.
It's like it's a little hard to take. So okay, so Badass Women. So you saw the movie with your friend. I know for me personally, like there were, like you said, Terminator movies like this. And I'm going to say something, like you were saying the thing you were trying to comment on, the race thing a little bit. I was noticing just right off the bat, Vasquez coming off like the, you know, everyone looks at her and they're like, that's the lesbian, you know? So it's kind of like, you know, there's the token lesbian and there's the one black guy in the entire cast. And I'm kind of thinking like, all right. And then I was like wondering, like, I feel like even growing up at the time, and this is like way before my own story of my life, but like, I think I really perceived like badass women as gay. Like you could say like, oh, she's like that. She's wearing a tank top. She's can kick ass and beat someone up. And like, she's got a gun. Like, I think at that time we were growing, and maybe, you know, please, I always say, I like to kind of get a little bit controversial on here because I'm looking for feedback. Okay, guys, like challenge me, please. I'm not afraid. Just come at me. But I honestly do. I had a moment like that where I was thinking that, like, I think I saw that and I was like, she's gay and that's why she's so strong. Like, I'm like, why would I think that? Yeah. Like, what is wrong with me? But maybe there was like always a little bit of that with trying to make storylines where you have a woman. Do you think that there was a fear for filmmakers at the time that if they took it too far with a female lead, that it would be perceived as if they didn't like give her a, you know, a romantic storyline on the side or something that like, oh, you know, God forbid you show women being this way, they're going to get labeled as something then, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I think one of the things is, you know, once again, kind of trying to going back into that time, but I think that you're right in that if you watch any movie in the 80s that a woman had short hair,
Right.
And was a badass, like that kind of strong military badass. There was that, like assumption, right? And it was, and there, they would never be the main character because we didn't get to have that then, right? I mean, it's one of the things that, and here's an, you know, just another digression, but one of the thing, and not, especially right now when we're in quarantine, so most of us are just thinking about that crap. But what gives me a lot of hope now about those kind of ridiculous stereotypes is that like our kids don't understand it at all, right? Like kind of what you were saying before, they don't, I was trying to explain this, and it, this was one of the reasons why I'd suggested a couple other movies. And the other two movies that have really resonated it with me in this kind of space lately has been Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel. And I've actually tried to explain it to my girls. Like Wonder Woman actually made me cry a little bit.
Aww.
Right. Well, it did. And they were like, "What, Mom?" And I was like, I'm trying to explain to them, like, I didn't grow up with strong female role models. Right. I mean, there were some, of course there were, but half of them were, like, I was a huge fan of Mia Hamm and her group, and they were always called lesbians. I remember that. Like, it was always like, if you're really good at a sport and, like that kind of crap. So like, that's kind of what to me is powerful about these movies looking back, is that like, I'm still affected by, movies that show really strong female characters who kick ass and don't need a man to tell them it's okay, give them permission, or threaten them. Right. I still am. And I always am going to be. But these initial characters, the Sarah Connor, like, and you were saying, like, Terminator 2 is my other favorite movie for exactly that reason. I will go back and watch the fight scenes. That's actually my favorite part. I go back and watch the fight scenes if I'm having a bad day, and Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel. And I'll also do that with Terminator 2, because it's just so empowering for me to see women who, they're smaller, but they still are taking care of themselves and protecting themselves and giving that kind of something that we didn't grow up with. And the sad thing is that the having that, and I'm quoting, like the stigma, like, oh, she has short hair and she's strong, so she's a lesbian. That was there.
Right.
And it was ridiculous, right? I mean,
it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what, but to go back to my first digression, is what makes me so happy today. Like, they don't get it really. Like, they were like, these are great movies, but they don't get why it affects me differently, because they don't think that way. Emma, oh my God, my 16-year-old Tiffany, she is, she's classic. You like this young woman is one, she herself is gay, and she's always schooling me, also doing hand quotes. It's adorable. I let her, but like, it's about how, like,
you're at that point that's unavoidable for a mother. Like, you get to that
it's
point.
It's unavoidable. I think what gets me though is because it's about like the gay community, and I'm
okay.
All right. Like, she told me, like, you can't wear plaid. I'm all in flannel. She did. She totally told me that. And I'm like,
why?
Oh my God.
I don't even understand that. Why?
I know, because it's only lesbians get to do that, Tiffany. You can.
I don't know what I am. No, I mean, listen, no, I could have I could have a whole rant about that too. Like, me and Nicole are probably the weirdest duo, because everyone's like, you're gay. And Nicole's like, I don't know if I like the word gay. And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, you can call me gay. I don't care. It's a whole, it's like a whole crazy thing. But you're right, kids. But you know, you have to remember too, our kids are at an age where they they have to hold on really strong to like one version of something. And it's kind of interesting to watch them go through that. And then and then it will kind of take different shapes. Like, I've even seen that with my kids. Like, you know, it's just, I let them make fun of me. I put my hands up and I go, okay, then. And then I just like bitch about it to another adult. Yeah. Like us.
That's what I've had to do. Cause it's the same thing for her. I think Emma is kind of in this fluid space because she's also bi. And I think if I said she was one thing or anything, that would get her too. I mean, she's 16. That's part of it. What to me is just really funny is that, like, cause she's schooling me about, like, you know, I don't understand gay people, I don't get to talk about them, or blah blah blah, and I'm like, okay, I just want to support you. So I kind of do the same thing. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I do the same thing. Like, okay, I think I can wear flannel, but all right. You're adorable. And, you know, and she's young and she's still figuring out her space, and everything is really, it is very black and white for her. Like, and gender to me is fascinating for them. They have a very different relationship. I don't know what's happening. I am too. She's no, always telling
I
me.
I am just like old. I'm an old person. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, wait a minute. Who? What's happening?
What?
Like,
what does it
them,
mean?
Them, they, I don't like, yeah. I can't have conversations because then my son's, a lot of his friends are like all these things, you know, they're all over the place. In fact, most of them. And he'll be like, so they are coming over to the clubhouse. And I'm like, okay, so how many people? And he's like, no, it's my friend and they're they and I, them. And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't. I don't know what you're telling me. I don't understand. Can I just know the name of the person? Because I'm confused. Like, I'm sorry. Call me old. I don't get it. Like, I need to be able to talk to you in a way that makes sense to me.
Well, yeah, I've had the same thing. So Emma has two best friends. And one is non-binary.
Okay.
And goes by they. And then... But then she has another friend. So I thought it was safer for me to refer to her friends that I did not know how they identified as they. That's not the case, apparently. So if, because she also has a trans, she has a trans boyfriend. I probably shouldn't be saying all this stuff on. I won't be able to.
Does she listen? Are you going to listen?
No, I probably won't. But so,
that's okay.
But I get in trouble because I called him they because I felt it was safer. And but because it's so important for him to be acknowledged and recognized as a boy, it's he. So I get that. Like, I get it now. But it was like she got so mad at me. And I'm like, I am so trying. Like you were saying, I am so trying to be respectful. Like, I do not get to tell anyone who they think they are. And I believe that very strongly.
Totally.
And I'm trying to be respectful. But it does get confusing. Like, she has one friend who one day feels like a girl and one day feels like a boy and sometimes feels like a day. And she asks them every day.
Oh my God. Wow.
Right. And it's just a very different world.
And it's funny because now we're just getting into a rant about how complicated the world is. But you know what?
Really
it's
okay. Children.
Yeah. Well, I think we have the same children. It sounds like, at least with some of my kids.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, I know this whole story. I've been there. But like, honestly, it is an interesting thing. And you know, I guess the upside of this conversation we're having is that our children are living in a place where, you know, even for us, that basic stereotype of like the female character in a film and the male and the female dynamic and like, what does it mean to be a man and what does it mean to be a woman? And the man has to save the day and the woman has to sit there and be like, oh, thank you for saving me. Like that was why we were so surprised when we saw like Ripley fucking kicking ass and throwing that guy over her shoulder. That, by the way, is my favorite part of the whole thing is when everyone's dead. It's like the little kid is the only thing left with the guy. And she just like, and he's been injured. She like picks him up with one arm, tosses him over her shoulder, and she fucking rolls out of that thing. And I'm like, holy cow, this movie is everything. She just took a man and threw him over her shoulder, is like, come with me. And I was like, all right, I know why I like this movie. But that's
so
really what I'm saying. And
it,
like you said, there's so much to love about it, at least for me. And I don't think I knew that that's what it was doing for me. And even like Terminator. Yeah. And I don't know if there's like another comment on, because we're talking about, now we've just decided to talk about Terminator, which I love, is that
we're now
women
who love sci-fi. That's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah, but these movies are really comparable. I'm actually thinking about this. And, you know, both movies that had a first one that did well-ish, but then the second one really, I feel like they both had like amazing sequels. And both storylines, like you said, are two women who in the first movies are kind of going along with everything. But by the time the second story hits, they've lost everything. You know, the reason Ripley, I think, in the story is able to do what she does and the way she responds is because she's got nothing to lose. Her life is over. She's got nobody. Like it's 57 years into the future and she's living alone with a cat. Everything sucks for her, you know? Yeah. So she is really driven by the time this thing starts to like, you know, throw it, like to do everything in her power to save people and make things different and just like she's got nothing in the way. And I think it's the same thing for the Terminator story where, mm-hmm. you know, you've got, where she's got the same kind of thing going on. So I think that's, does that say that women have to lose everything before they become badasses? I don't know if that's,
I think at that time that's, well, I think at that time, that's what they try to say. Right. I mean, mm-hmm. and one of the things I was thinking before we had this, we were doing this, I was remembering some of the conversations or criticism, not real criticism, but just, you know, people talking about these movies. And in particular, like Ripley's was some of the things that did make some women mad was it was like she had to have a child to protect. Right.
I see.
And that made the difference. And it's like, well, not really, because she didn't have to go back. Right.
That's
and
true.
Then, right. She didn't have to go back. And she would have done that. I think that she was trying to protect people. And there, to me, there's a very interesting, I always struggle with the kind of the maternal,
right.
Being natural for us. So the idea that, you know, having that being women, we have this maternal, impetus or driver that puts us in these positions that has allowed patriarchy to actually control us and do all this stuff. And as someone who actually does not believe that, all women are supposed to be mothers, that all women have maternal instincts, and that also that men don't also have, for lack of a better word, these maternal instincts.
Good point.
Right. And, cause I think my father was actually way more maternal than my mother was. And the idea that that's a natural like quality that we have, is an interesting side of Aliens. This, you know, second one, because they also have the mama alien who she bugs me in so many ways, right? They make her grotesque. The egg sack, the connected.
What is that? And I'm just going to literally go there. I'm like watching this thing at the end. Charlotte finally came into the room and she's like kind of putting up with this. And she's like, what? Oh my God. Is that her vagina? And I'm like laughing out loud.
It's so gross.
I'm like, I don't think so. And she's like, ew, it's so big. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. All right. Let's just take it back.
But it's like an egg sac that's attached to her. But like, is it? I mean,
really
what is
gratuitous.
It?
I know. Yeah, I don't know, but really it's definitely there to kind of like disturb you, obviously.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That this is like, you know, there's a couple parts in the story where you feel like that, you know. I'm like, ew, did they have to do that? You know?
Yeah.
Like when Bishop gets cut in half, that like his juices have to go flying all over.
Oh, I know. I had the same thing. It was like that scene and the whole scene with the mom, the queen alien, whatever she is. I hated that the first time because I get it. They're trying to evoke that, and I'm sure there's some very interesting connections you can make with the grossness of the female body and giving birth and all those pieces. And then the woman who hasn't given birth, who has now adopted this child who, you know, if you pay attention, did call her mommy after Ripley saved the day, which was another one where I was like, really?
I know. Well, they still had, I think that I wonder how much pressure they had in terms of like the story, or maybe it was just the mindset of the time that like you just said, like the stereotypical roles of like what a woman is and what a man is, and women are maternal, and like that's what just would happen. Mm-hmm. Which just feels like a movie anyway. You know, it feels very ridiculous.
I was about to say doesn't say I didn't enjoy it.
I mean, you like it. I love it.
I love the movie.
Yeah. And I not to interrupt you, sorry. I was just thinking like the what I was noticing more than anything with her connection to Newt was that like she lost everything. She was this person, you know, who went through what she went through, and she's alone in this existence of what she's experienced. And now it's happening all over again. And she sees this child who is in the same boat as her, who's lost every person she knows, has the same experience, And they're like, yeah, the only two. It's almost like they're in recovery together. They're like, we get each other. It's like, oh my God,
it's
I was screwed up too.
Recovery. Yeah. And it's right. Like Newt's the only one that survived the attack and has stayed alive for whatever it was, like 735 something days, I think, by being very careful and hiding and finding a spot where I guess they couldn't get to her. But yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I mean, so it's not just the kind of the maternal thing, but the connection of they both survived the same thing.
Yeah. And I think that's what draws them together a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's like, or at least for Ripley, that's what draws her, you know, deeper to understanding Newt, because I don't think, you know, she's not a mother, right, mm-hmm. in her life previously to this point. So she doesn't have an experience with that. I think it worked for me.
Yeah.
But I do, I love your points though about roles of men and women around these things and how they play out in movies. And I know movies are just movies and like, I can take this stuff really far dissecting it and talking about it.
And it can be fun to do that.
No, but people do it with books. And quite honestly, movies are a reflection of the time period. They always are, just like every art form. So if you look at books from a certain time period, they're going to display the culture in different ways. And like, same thing with movies. And like, I can say that, you know, if I pull a movie from like the 1940s, I'm going to see something that so represents the way we saw each other as like people at that time, you know, because that shows up in that, you know, art form. So for me, it's always commentary. And it's kind of like, it's kind of refreshing to see where we are now and all the different kinds of stories we see now that are so different from that. And, but still super fun. And I think it's still, you know, I'm going to go completely on a tangent. I'm going to go even to an area where I shouldn't go at all right now for a few seconds.
Okay.
We were just watching this Hillary documentary that's on.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet. Yeah.
It's like a documentary series and it's not about getting political, but just the story of her as a woman and her story, like of her life as a woman during times where she was trying to go to law school and all the, you know, it's an interesting thing. Like I'm thinking about all these things that we're talking about a character in a movie like Ripley and how it was a tricky thing. Like you didn't want to make her too masculine or not too feminine, but then like strong, but
somewhere
not like
clean. Yeah.
There's so many things that we're looking at and we're even like criticizing. And I was thinking about her because that's exactly like a big part of her story is when she was running, you know, it's like, could she do anything? You know, like, you know, it's like if you were too sexy, you were a tart, you know, if you're
too
serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's really hard for women and whether you liked her or hated her or you didn't, you know, whatever your political standing is, in terms of being
her,
a woman.
So.
Yeah. Like I think that it was a really hard thing to do. And I think this reminds me of that, which is kind of like, I don't think she could have done so many things and got a good response because it's just, you're screwed to start, you know, like, I don't know how you can become a strong, powerful woman and have a powerful position without having some, you know, pushback on some level, because we just don't, maybe we're not even there yet completely. I don't know. I wonder. Yeah. I mean, unless it's in a movie and it's all fictional, you know, I don't really know how that goes, you know. But then,
I mean,
it's hard.
Hillary and Warren have shown that, right? I mean,
totally.
Right. They really have that. This country is just like, I said that after Hillary lost to the idiot, that I didn't realize that was when I realized our country was more sexist than racist. Right. And
oh my God. So
and there, you know, part of it was like Hillary had a lot of people who hated her and a lot of people who actually like and admire had issues. I got into so many fights during that because I'm like, do you know anything about her history? Do you know anything about the pro bono work she did for women and children? Do you know anything about that? Do you know that she changed her name because they
I
made
know.
Such
well,
a
you'll love
her.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like,
you'll love the series because it's like so good and it's like, yeah, I mean, it's like everything you just said, and it's just like they really do an amazing job of just showing you all this stuff. And it's a shame it didn't exist before. Like, this would have helped her out a lot. Why did they do this before?
And I was hopeful that Warren would be able to kind of get through it. I think she would have a better plan than what we're going to get. But once again, as long as it gets Trump out of office, I don't care. Like, I'm kind of so that way.
It's like, what fictional badass woman do we need now in this world? Like, you know, who needs to come back? I mean, I have to be honest with you. I was just on this crazy trip. I went to Bali in Thailand with this yoga studio that I've been going to for many years. And it was a pretty insane trip and also terrifying considering what's just been happening. And I made it back and everything's good. But I was on the plane forever, which my God, what a nightmare. But I did it. And but I watched a lot of movies. There are all these free movies. So I ended up watching the final Terminator that they just did, which I didn't really want to see. Oh my God, please go see it. I'll tell you. Well, like, listen, if you're saying what you're saying about certain types of movies, I think you'll at least enjoy it, whether you think it's a great movie or not. It's certainly a whole lot of fun to watch. But I put it on and I was kind of like, it's going to be whatever. It's Terminator. You know, I'm like, I got 8 million hours. Boom, let's go. So I put it on.
I'm going to watch all the movies. Movies I didn't want to see. I'm just going to watch them all.
I really was like, whatever, this will be exciting. It'll keep me awake. So I put it on and I have to tell you, it was super fun. And one thing they did do, which is just showing you the time period, is that maybe almost to like an overcorrection of like what we're talking about from the older movies, is that they just filled this movie with like all women leads that just fucking kill everyone. Like, it's just so funny. And I'm like, this is insane. This is like gone on overload where you've got, and they brought her back, which is even better, which is so funny to see her.
I love Linda Hamilton. She's a,
this is what I'm
talking about, a badass. She's a badass. No, I was planning on seeing it, even though part of me didn't want to see it. But more because I actually just really like her, you know?
Well, it's everything as you could expect, which is like over the top every which way, you know?
Yeah.
Like the fight scenes, the graphics, like it's all crazy, ridiculous, and like in your face. But like I said, super entertaining, super fun. And if you just like seeing women kicking ass and playing strong female characters, like it's just full of it. So it's fun. And I actually thought that they did a pretty good job of making sense with the story, because I was like, how in the world are they gonna
there's so many different versions, right?
No, and I'm like, what could possibly be happening now? Like, I'm like, what is so, but they kind of, I was like, I was sitting there going, huh, all right, well, that kind of works, huh, interesting. But check it out if you like it. It's funny, we're already like almost an hour. I've been talking to you for so long, and I don't want to keep you from your evening routine,
my enchiladas.
Oh, but, my God. Damn, I want to come over. But
you are welcome anytime, Tiffany. John's the cook in the family, so that's why I can be like, we're going to eat at 7. I can talk to you.
That's amazing. Oh, I love it. Well, do you have any, like, last-minute shares on this, like, you know, this discussion before I...
I'm trying to... I mean, you said something, what you just said is, like, I think that, like, my favorite thing is to watch movies with kick-ass women in it. They're my favorite TV series, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is one of the best of all time, right? Even though there are some issues, little issues around Josh Whedon, which makes me, I've discussed at length at other places. but I think that it's interesting to watch the, and kind of what we were touching upon a little bit with our kids, right? I know that they're going to be at a different place than we are, but what the politics have shown us is that we're not there yet.
Right.
Like, our kids are there, our 17 to 12 year olds are there. And I hate being Whitney Houston, but it's like the kids are our future. It is what gives me hope with things like this. Even though they laugh at me, they're like, oh my God, mom, you have to watch like Captain Marvel. I'll tell you. So I have like comfort movies, right? So like Captain Marvel is my comfort movie because it is. Kick-ass women are my comfort movie. So if I'm ever need, or also West Wing, weirdly, because I would love to see Martin Sheen as our president. But they know when I've had like a bad day, because it's like Captain Marvel's on the TV.
Aww,
like, I'm sorry. That's so nice. I just need to do this. But they don't get it because they live in a different world than we do. And my hope is that, you know, by the time they're actually voting and they have their politics, you know, their actual thoughts around it, that we won't have to deal with the fact that what happened with Hillary, what happened with Warren, the fact that once again, we just have old white man who's who's running. And it's like, I think that that's what that's like sci-fi has always been that escapism. And it was mostly, honestly, like in the beginning, right? It was a male dominated land of escapism. And that's
totally
kind
true.
Of,
yeah.
That's kind of why I think for some of us women, movies like Terminator 2 and Alien 2, resonate and are important. Like, you know, like I watched it like I said, we watched it today. And thankfully, because Cameron is more about the scene and the atmosphere, there's not that much special effects that are dated. There's a couple. Like, there's a couple moments in the movie, right? John and I are like, oh, we don't want to see.
I know what you're talking about.
We don't want to see the ship in space because you can see the blue line. You can see the whole thing. But as soon as they're just in those pieces, like it ages so well. Like it really
it's a great story. It is. And it's great storytelling. I have to interrupt you. It's like amazing storytelling. And it's so many great little things that he does with the story. Like, you know, the script itself is, it's just so solid. That's why every piece of it, you're like cheering at the end because you're just, you're watching everything play out in such a way that it pulls you in deeper and deeper. And that's such a great, you know, thing about the movie, like you said.
Yeah. And it's a good, for right now, we need that kind of escapism, right? We're all locked in our houses, trying to stay away from people. I have to work from home when I have two children working from home and a husband working from home, and our house is not that big. So it's nice to have that even though it has nothing to do with reality whatsoever. And yet it gives you some kind of strange hope about badass women kicking ass. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of my, you know, watch a lot of movies with badass whipping, kicking ass, regardless of where it is.
No, I ditto. I second that. Everyone, if you're depressed, women, a calling to all my ladies out there.
Do it.
Terminator there's great
2,
content.
Do Aliens. There
you know,
is.
If you don't like the news, yes, you don't have to watch the news. And I'm going to shout out to one show that is one of my favorites that I'm excited is back, even though it confuses the fuck out of me and I don't know what is happening.
What is it?
Westworld. Westworld is.
Oh, okay. That's right. It just came back
and I got a little bit lost, but what's even more advanced in the story of Westworld, if people that watch Westworld, is it's not only about women kicking ass towards the end of this, you know, the last season, but about robot women kicking ass. So let's like, that's about robot rights, which is just kind of like android rights or whatever you want to call them, but like taking it really far. So now it's not even no longer about a sex or a race, but about, you know, a robot who's been discriminated against.
That's some interesting road to go down.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have not watched Westworld because I have very, I cannot watch rape narratives. I just can't.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah.
And well, that would make sense.
Yeah. And I want to, like, there's a couple other movies that are like that I get to, like, I had to stop watching Game of Thrones. Like, it's so good. But I just can't watch them. It's just very hard.
No,
for me.
And I totally. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I forgot that was like a big part of that story because
the
first season, and as the seasons go on, it gets way more intricate to the point, like I said, where I was like, "Who is what and what is happening?" I'm totally confused. But but it does. It's kind of like going from like Alien, the first one, to the second one. It goes from like them being submissive and like not having a say. And then when it starts to turn, wow, does it start to turn? And you're just like, holy cow, that was crazy, you know? It's triumphant, but I do think there's plenty of great, like you said, there's plenty of great stuff to see out there. I'm so glad we got to do this. Thank you so much for like joining me, and we got to do it again and even talk outside of this podcast.
I want to do the Terminator 2 thing. I think I love that. I like the idea of doing some kind of like, it's going to make me do some research just to see if there's other movies that are in that vein where there's the sequel and the women come back like stronger and more badassery. Yeah, I'm making that a word. That's a word now.
God, that's a great word. Yeah.
Definitely, Tiffany. Let's set up some Zoom meetings, just you and me, because obviously we can still talk.
Totally. And this has been a great conversation. So
you rants here.
Well, listen, everyone, thank you for joining us this week. I'm going to wrap it up so that we can all get our dinners. And please like, listen, follow, like, subscribe, send me hate mail, whatever you need to do, please do it. I just want your feedback. Do you want me to talk about something? Let's talk about it. If you want to be a guest.
No hate mail.
No. But you can be a guest. And I'm really working on getting a lot of more, you know, fun episodes for everyone since we kind of do have extra time, some of us right now. And and why not? So I encourage you to watch movies and discuss them with your family and friends. That's all we can do sometimes. So thanks for joining us, and I'll see you guys next time.
Get away from her, you bitch!